Once again, my name is Adeni Ishoremi, and I am the one that came up with this whole DEFSA idea with some other smart guys and ladies as well. And our goal is to try and solve the challenges of farm staffing, seeing how that is one of the core legs that food security in Nigeria is standing upon. Welcome, Mr. Reino. I forgot your first name again, I'm sorry. Yeah. Can you hear me? Yes. Could we maybe mute our mic? So if you want to speak, of course, we can speak one after the other. Could we maybe mute our mic? There's a mute button there, so the interference will not go into the recording. All right, wonderful. Thank you, Mr. Reino. All right, so as I was saying, we came up with this solution to help farmers achieve stability. Welcome, everyone. Let's kindly mute our mic. Let's mute our mic. Thank you. Let's mute our mic.
Thank you. Let's mute our mic.
There's a mute button. Thank you. Let's mute our mics. All right. So as I said, I and a couple of guys came up with this idea to help farms meet the shortage of farm staff. And it's been a lot of challenge, but we give God all the glory. We've been doing this for over a year now. And when we came into offering this service, we had experienced several challenges before deciding to solve this problem for farmers. We ourselves, that's the main company, which is DOFMA, we've lost millions in farm staffing challenges. And then we felt, okay, let's solve it for ourselves first. After solving for ourselves, then we decided to now extend that service to other farm owners. Of course, we knew what we're getting ourselves into, but we did it nonetheless. So on this evening, over the next 35 minutes, I would touch on five core topics. I will touch on the state of food security in Nigeria. I will touch on the role of farm staffing in securing the food security in Nigeria. I will touch on the concept of trial and error when it comes to employing farm workers. Of course, also talking about sorting the batch. You understand more about that when we get there. Fourth, we'll be talking about where are farm workers concentrated at within Nigeria and outside. And lastly, how do you get these workers to work in your farm? How do you get them and have them work in your farm? Of course, after then, we'll have ample time for question and answer. The goal is simple. Spend 35 to 40 minutes talking about all of this and spend the next 20 minutes afterwards answering questions and attending to whatever questions that may arise. Whether personally within what was discussed, or it could be outside what was discussed. As long as there are farms worker related, then the questions are valid, and I would answer as many as we can within the time frame. So with that stated, we'll start with the first one, the state of food security in Nigeria. The state of food security in Nigeria is so terrible. It's never been this worst, at least since I've been giving birth to. That's never been this worst. And I've seen people literally go from comfortable to managing, right? In terms of their financial status. They're like, they've gone from very comfortable individuals to managing individuals. And I've seen people from managing level and now at the point of begging. Why? Because of food insecurity. Sadly, many people's salary is now accounting for over 40 to 60% of their salaries every month, or of their income every month, which is not normal. Because if you are spending as much as 40 to 60% of your income on your food and what you eat every month, then where is the place for savings? Where is the place for life support? And where is the place for housing, where is the place for medical, where is the place for many other things, right? And these are things, and you can see it, a lot of youths are, those that are not married are weighing the option of marriage. I was speaking to my dad a while back, and he was saying that in his own time, when as a man, once you're over 24, 25, and you're a little bit well-to-do, the next thing you start hearing is the songs of marriage. And if you are a lady and you're over 20, 21, and you're done with your secondary school, or just you're done with ND, you're already hearing the songs of marriage. And it's something of a pride of some sort for people to go into. But now you see men over 30, in their mid-30s, early 40s, and they are still weighing the option of marriage. Likewise, ladies over 25 are still weighing the options. What that tells is cost of living, standard of living is not something that everybody is very, very cautious about, right? So food security is one of the core reasons why all of these things are happening. And of course, when you look at the root of this food security, you see the fact that many farmers are finding it difficult to keep their production level upward. Right, they're having difficulty keeping that 10 bags of maize that small farmer is bringing in every year into the Nigerian food system. It's finding difficulty keeping it at 10 bags. It's now each year is producing less and less and less bag. Why? Because he has to manage the resources he's got to get to farming and then bring it out and sell at the price that people will not leave it for him alone, but they'll buy from him. But he also will make as much profit as would make sense that he went into farming that year. And despite that, many are losing on a daily basis. And to top all of this up, then the human resources required to make farming profitable is not even becoming tedious and scarce to have. You hear people tell you that, of course, that Nigeria unemployment rate is very high. The question there is, if it's very high and there are many people that are unemployed, why is the farming sector not seeing staff every day? Why is staff not so abundant? Why is it also difficult to get staff? And that's what tells you that it is not just about the fact that people want job. It's the fact that people are weighing their option. Because at the end of the day, why go for a job that is going to pay you 10 naira if in a month you spend 15 naira for food? Why do you go for 10 naira? So a lot of people are weighing many options. And that is the state of food security in Nigeria. And it's quite very sad, but it's our reality. And so if we can do our part, if we can solve our own part, then there's a tendency that we can actually improve food security. It's not going to be a magical solution. There's no surgical lens to all of this conversation. It is deliberate effort. It's incremental, small but incremental changes that can actually change what we're experiencing in this country. If I can help the next 2, 3, or 4 more people produce food in a more affordable way, one, in a more easy way, in a more consistent manner, then these people will be able to maintain their quota every year. And eventually, as things start getting better, they can increase their quota. And eventually, more people get to find ease in doing farming. Before you know, production will start increasing, right? It was not magical that Nigeria is the largest producer of cassava, although our metric ton is reducing gradually, but it's not by chance that we didn't just overnight got to the millions of metric tons that we are doing right now. The millions of tons we are doing right now, we didn't just jump into that level. We didn't just jump there and get to that level. It was incremental over time. But for the past 2-3 years now, right now, it's been a whole lot of challenge keeping the speed at which we were growing in cassava before continuous. And the reason is because the challenges of cultivating the product is becoming high. I've got some workers actually harvesting cassava in Benin right now as I'm speaking. And those workers right now, August, right, these workers were harvesting a truck, which is about 2.5 ton, for an average fee of around 9,000 to 10,000 naira per truck, which we tried our best to keep workers in this project. They were running away. They just didn't want to do it. And when I observed what they were doing, I saw literally how tedious it is to do this work. And within, I looked at the owner of the project, because it was a big farm, over 7,000 to 10,000 hectares of cassava farm in Benin, right? It's a lot of work, but then I'm looking at how much cost the owner of the project had put into this project, and I understand that as much as I want them to pay better value, they are equally looking at their cost of production to ensure that every other thing does not increase, right? Okay, over time, after seeing how these workers would not stop running, right, and they will keep having issues, the new place that they are working right now, for the same 2.5 ton, they are paying them an average of, an average of 24,000-25,000 for that same truck. What changed between September and now? Workers, they don't want to stay. And they need to find a way to entice these workers to have them keep doing this work. But where will we board? Who will bear the brunt of this? Because this place is where these workers are working. They actually convert this cassava to ethanol and other products. So it's a factory in itself. Who will bear the brunt of all of this increased cost? It is the consumers, right? And these consumers are going to pay tooth and nail to have that product because the workers cannot afford it and cannot take working hard and not getting money anymore. That is the state we are in Nigeria's current food security level. Now, that also shows the role of farm staffing in securing food security. If farm staffing can be properly structured, right? If the way people get to work and the way they earn can be properly well structured, then we can have people do work with joy and peace. They can be happy doing what they want to do. They can keep doing it and they can be dependable upon. Like you, as a farm owner, if your workers are happy in a way, they will be eager to want to keep doing that work. And I won't lie, I told someone something a while back. I said, this in 2024 is going to be different in the sense that a lot of people already know that things have to go high to keep things working. And if it has to go high, many people already have the realization in their mind that they have to up their game to be able to afford what they used to afford with certain amount of money before. Giving an example, at some point, people were able to buy, let's say, a pack of spaghetti, right, for as low as 3.6 per pack, right? But now, that same spag is now 12,000 to 13,000 per pack. Now, it has increased by almost 10,000 naira, if not even more, right? So people are already at the point where they realize that if I'm still going to eat spag as a meal, then I have to do better work to make sure that 10,000 naira difference that I've climbed it, I can afford it. So 2024 is going to be about a lot of understanding that price cannot be helped, but it has to go up. It can't be helped, it just has to go up. And because of that, a lot of people would increase their innovative skills and the approach in which they do business to earn more money. And then eventually it will trickle down to every little person, every little member in the value chain. And that is how I see it. So this year, a lot of farm owners would have to adjust a lot of things as it has to do with their operating costs, their plans, their projections, and all those things so that they can catch up. Of course, they have to be prudent as well, but they equally have to ensure that who are the key drivers of my success in this business? Once you identify those key people, how do I ensure that they are steady and consistent? And farm workers are one of the key resources in agriculture, seeing how they determine the success of any agricultural business, particularly farm businesses. And that is the role of farm staff. They are instrumental. Their work may not know that there are people that do hard work in agriculture, very hard work in agriculture. They may not know them per se. They may not even understand the description of what they do. But something there is what they do has ripple effect across even the top brass in the whole country, right? Even someone as high as the president of the country still relies on food that is being produced somewhere in Nigeria. Right, even the governors of many states still relies on food produced somewhere in Nigeria, and somewhere in Nigeria, a manual unskilled labor is the one at the ends of affair, making sure that day to day operations are going smooth. So, and if those workers should one way or the other decide to be unavailable, it can all actually ripple. Although they will be able to afford it because it will only increase in price as law and demand and supply states price these days in the market. If there is high demand for a product, the prices jumps up like it's doing in the feed in the feed sector, the livestock feed sector. Of course, no doubt, feed ingredients are increasing. They are getting expensive, and I know why. And I can tell you why if you've not read about it. Most Nigerians' market is now easy market for a lot of West African and neighboring countries. I don't have time to walk you through the data, but the summary there is because of the dollar that had gone up, which is the international denomination of people used to manage their currency, Nigeria is one of the worst performing currency in Africa as at 2023. which means that most of our commodities are naira based. Most of our agricultural commodities are naira denominated. And because the dollars have gone up so much, people from neighboring African country can afford naira at a more cheaper value, right? So someone that used to pay $1 before to access, say, like 700 naira, now can now pay that same $1 and access almost 1,000 to 1,500 naira. So before you know, he's using that money to buy a product that have not appreciated in the same way the dollar had actually devalued the naira. And so before you know, buying a product from Nigeria now is now cheap. At some point, we used to go to Kuton over time to go and buy commodities and bring to Nigeria and resell, right? The same thing that we did to Kuton back there is what they are now doing back to us. Only this time it's now in food. So before you know, we're having to compete for maize, we're having to compete for sorghum, we're having to compete for soybean, we're having to compete for all essential legumes and grain. And that's why the price of feed keep going up. However, that's not the only thing at play in the feed sector. Also, demand and supply is also pushing things to record poor levels, right? And that is what we are currently experiencing as well. So, of course, all of this are still boils down. Of course, after you look at the dollar and all those other effects, it still boils down to your staff, right? At the end of the day, all of these things caution you on how you spend on your staff, but you have to know how to balance it. Of course, be prudent, but be prudent in a way that does not affect your staffing, because then it affects the productivity of your farm, and then your farm may likely fail. And that's the role of farm staffing in food security. I've handled the first topic and the second topic, right? And then the third thing I want to talk about is the concept of trial and error, right? Which I tag sorting the batch, right? So what does that statement actually even mean, right? The concept of trial and error is the fact that Nigeria does not have structural or skilled farm staffing space. Unlike the skilled space, the white collar job, right? There are many human resource organization out here in Nigeria. We've got the Seamless, we've got Jobberman, we've got a lot of them. And those are the big guns. Then there are the smaller guns that do all of those structuring. If you need staff for your corporate business today, pardon me, you might not actually need to do all the recruiting yourself. You just might need to just partner with someone or hire a company, and they will take care of all the staffing solutions that you need. Is that structured? From the recruitment to the management to the salary down to evaluations and productivity, it's so automated. You can have them do that for you. And that's the white collar space in Nigeria. But we don't have that same thing in the blue collar space. Whether for building materials or for agriculture or for any other blue collar job out there, we don't have that structure. So it means that you don't even know who is worthy, who is not worthy, who should you go out and take a limb of faith on, and who should you not give that chance, seeing how well it could come back and backfire. We don't have any of those structure whatsoever. And because of that, typically, everybody that is hiring farm staff right now is doing trial and error. Many of them are doing trial and error. There are some that have gotten the perfect margin, but there are very few. And what I mean perfect score, what I mean is, they've been able to run through so much trial and error that they found that one, two, or three staff that are dependable against all odds. These workers are perfect and they are the right fit, like they are the right fit or the right, you call it square peg in square O, right? That's how they are. They are square pegs in square O. They fit perfectly for your project or your ambition. Now, only very few people have achieved that in their farming business. Many people just run through several trial and error, and then Mr. A's staff. Welcome, Mr. Famuiwa. Nice to have you on board. Could you mute so that you have time for questions and answers later? You could mute so that I'm recording, so it doesn't interfere the interference from the call. Thank you. So basically, what we have right now going on is we have this farm use a certain level of workers, and these workers are not dependable, right? Or they are not reliable. Then you see these workers being transported somewhere else after they run away from this farm. They get a job in another farm, right? And that farm doesn't have an history of how these workers had been in the previous station. And then the new person hires them, they mess up there as well, they run away somewhere else. And that keep going on severally. And that's one instance. The second instance is you bring workers from the north, they use you to come down to the south. Seeing how a lot of the northern workers sees the south as London of Nigeria, right? And they see, and they feel like when they come to the south, there's a lot of money they're gonna eventually have to make or pick, whatever the case is. And all they just have to do is tell you that they want to come and work as a farm staff. And then you use your hard-earned money to transport them with 20, 30, 40,000 naira down to the south, only for them to come, spend a month, and run. And the next time you see them, they tell you that they are working as bricklayers somewhere. And you're like, what did I bring you for? What are you doing? Right? So there are all instances. There are several ways that the whole farming sector is running a large part of it on trial and error. You try this worker, it doesn't work. You try that next one. Until you are like you're out of business. And that's the trial and error. So what do we do, right? We know that this batch is something we can solve in a day. So for my own part, right, we're sorting the batch. That's how we call it, sorting the batch. So we're not against this whole system happening, right? We're trying to caution it and make sure that it reduces. Like if we have a case of 5 runaways in 1 month, of course, out of 10, there's 5. Out of 20, there's 5. Okay, we look at these 5, what causes it? We look at, okay, who are they accountable, who are their leaders, who actually vouched for their credibility. We reach out to them. Of course, in some cases, we find there's financial repercussions on those guarantors. And there are other ways, we keep improving ways to hold accountability. Despite that this also keep going on, we don't want to continue the cycle of trial and error. We want to make sure that once you come through us, there's data. And that data, it doesn't matter where else you go in the future, data is there. You can't run away from your data. And eventually, we clean up that sector. It's going to take a lot of years. But we've started since last year. Since that data, September 2022. And then last year, from January through to December, we're operational. And this is our second operational year. We've taken time for our data and our operation is all going well. And that's what we are doing. We're sorting through the batches of terrible individuals that may want to deface that business for many. Because you see a lot of people going to agriculture with their life savings, their entirety. And at the end of the day, just one staff's carelessness, the business is gone. Someone's livelihood, someone's 10, 5, 20, 50 years worth of savings and gratuity and everything is gone in an instant because of poor staffing activities. So that's the concept of trial and error that is common in the agricultural sector that is currently killing many and taking many out of business. Then the fourth thing we'll be looking at right now that I want to talk about is where are farm workers concentrated in? Mr. Famiwa, could you please mute? There's a feedback from your side. Could you please mute? We'll still have time for question and answers, then we can unmute and talk. So where are farm workers concentrated and why are they concentrated in those places? So we'll start with the fact that in Nigeria, right? I'll talk about Nigeria and outside Nigeria. In Nigeria, most farm workers are concentrated in the north, but it's not equal, right? There are different parts in the north where they are concentrated at. So we have, of course, Nasarawa, Benue, Jos, right? Nasarawa, Benue, Jos. See that pockets of that region, right? Those 3 states as a region, right? They are known to produce genuine farmers that actually are predominant core time farmers, right? But one of the challenges that region have is the fact that some of their workers tend to get greedy. But outside that, most of them are staff worthy. Like they can literally come to your staff and do the work that they intend to do. And if you put proper maintenance, supervisory job, and management job on them, you may enjoy them to a certain extent. So they have a large portion for farm workers, and they are already being respected for providing agile farm staffs. And they are not very, very easily prone to instincts. Form of anger that could make them in one morning, one night disappear. They tend to run as well, but the way they run is the pattern in which guys, the way they run it from your project site or your farm business is different from the pattern from other region. And I say they have high concentration of farm staff from this place. Then we have another region. You see Kaduna, Katsina, right? Sokoto, right? You see this three part of the Northwest. We also have good concentration of workers from this region as well. However, because the Northwest is like the wealthy part of the North, right? Most of them are prone to money and they understand the language that money speaks. And even while they work as a labor or as unskilled workers, they have a goal that is heavily centered on money. And because of the way the honest one-liner approach that the people from that region have, when they are done, they are done. So they can leave you in an instinct. They don't even think it through and they are gone from you. But they provide a good chunk of workers. I almost will classify them as the third on the hierarchy. I've picked the Jos, Nasrawa, Benue guys as number one on the hierarchy of where the largest number of workers coming from Nigeria. Then Sokoto, Kaduna, Katsina, I classify them as the third in the line. And the second, you see, the Gombe, Maiduguri pockets, right? Jigawa, Gombe, Maiduguri, that pocket over there, right? And I see them more as number two, right? They have a lot of workers, and because they are not entirely just Hausas alone, there's a Kanuri with them and other ones that with them. So they are a bit of both worlds, right? And they have large quantity of workers. With them, the best way to work with them is to work with a leader that understands them. And that way, it holds them a little bit down, but not entirely down. They can also be as erratic as the Northwest counterpart as well. Then they are the second in the hierarchy of where workers concentrate, high concentration of workers coming into the farming sector. Then after that, then you have the pocket of Akwa Ibom Cross River, right? Now, Ebonyi. Now, these three places in the east and south, I'll classify them as the fourth region where you can get credible workers from that can actually do farm work. Not just workers that will come and not be able to do anything. They'll come and do farm work, yes. These places also produce them. And if you know how to play the aggregated mindsets of providing value, you would enjoy workers from these places more because they understand improved standard of living, but then they see agriculture as a worthy business that you can literally spend your life doing. Something similar to the way the Benue, the Plateau, and the Nasrawa guys sees farming. They have similarities in how they see farming because of that, but they have more steady approach to it. There are not that many, but the few you have there, if you know how to handle them, you enjoy them more, and they have less tendency of running away. And these are the top four regions where workers come in from Nigeria to many farms. Now, of course, there are other ones, other regions that I have not mentioned. That's because our data doesn't yet signify so much numbers from these places yet. Over time, we'll improve our data and explain that to you. The Southwest is a no-no for farm staff. If you see a good one and you can find a good one, yes, keep them. But on a larger out view, the Southwest workers are not the best workers that you can have for your farm. Now, outside Nigeria, we have a lot of workers considering these days coming from Togo. It used to be Cotonou before, but now Togo is now the hot zone for farm staff. Now, the reason why Togo are taking so much is now a hot zone is because over time, Togo workers have adapted to the Nigerian terrain in such a way that they are now comfortable having a financial agreement as opposed to an agreement that is held side by side with motorcycles. So, and that's why a Nigerian's appetite for Togo workers had increased over time. But this is it. Togo is not really a big country. You can as well equate Togo to Ekiti State or to Akwa Ibom State or not even to any northern states because that would just be you blowing that proportion. The best way to equate Togo is to equate it with one of the low population ranking southern states, right? And that's Togo. And what happened is they equally have their own agricultural agendas. Now imagine Nigeria appointing to pick from them. So it creates this kind of this demand wave where there's so much demand for the staff, but there are so little supply of them. So before you know, there's just so many back and forths that is affecting how workers are able to pick job in Nigeria that is available to other people. And of course, because of that, the prices are high. Of course, they may not charge you for a bike, but they would equally almost collect the same value as a bike from you. And that is something that is already guaranteed that we know so much of. So of course, there's workers coming from Togo, Niger, Cameroon, and Togo, Kutono Togo, yes. And some workers are even coming from as far as Ghana, but they are not quite much. They're just a few pocket size of them. So that's how workers are concentrated, and they all cost different value. Now, having to help you understand the workers' value, right now, standard-wise, if you can directly get workers from the region Benue, Jos, Nasarawa, if you can directly get workers from there, you likely will be in a range of between 35,000 and 50,000 per month, depending on their exposure level to agricultural sector and of course to money. Two, their experience level, right? And three, their skilled level, like how much are they, can they speak English to certain level, are they quite formal bits, or are they stack illiterate? Those things determine how their value is. You can get any between 35,000 and 50,000 per month. And if you're, most of them usually like the annual payment structure as well. Some of them do like it. And when they like it, of course, you're looking at between 350,000 per annum. Outside feeding, you still have to feed them. 350 to 550 per annum. And you still have to feed them. You have to understand that feeding is still on you. Except you have a structural, clear-cut agreement that you won't be feeding them. And that feed is going to come from their money. In which case, you need to pay them on a monthly scale so they can feed themselves. So these are things that are there in between. Of course, with workers, direct workers, you might likely have to pay for transport to and fro, having them from that part of the town to the other. And then that's them. Of course, the outside workers, you can get them anywhere between 40,000 and 45 per month. And if you're looking at annual money for them, it usually doesn't work best for them. But if you're looking at annual for the Northwest and Northeast counterparts, you'll be looking at anywhere from 450,000 to 50,000 per annum, and they don't mind even taking their feeding out of that money as well. It's just that you have to pay them monthly to have that happen as much as possible. Then from the east as well, those ones can be a bit pricier, but then they are dependable. As I said, you're looking at anywhere between 45,000 and 55,000 naira for each one of them, and that is the payment chain that you have with all of these people. Those on Kutono and Togo, if you're paying them with bike, of course, that's bike. But if you want to pay them on a monthly scale, you're looking at anywhere between 60,000 to 65,000 naira per month. But if you're not paying them that way, you want to pay them annually per year, and they've chosen to collect money from you, you're going to be looking to pay them around 350 for those that they call them one alakmi. Like that's the way they calculate their target daily. Yes, one alakmi, there's two alakmi. One alakmi means that it's going to work certain level of targets in a day. Why the two alakmi is going to work double of that initial target in a day. Now, the one alakmi as of last year was 250,000 naira out aside feeding. You have to feed them, transport them, handle their health, and still ensure that you give them 50,000. That's for those that are collecting money. For those that are doing double of that one's value, you're paying 500 straight, right? Else you pay bike. So this year now, currently right now, it has not improved, but it's currently 300,000 for one alakmi and 600,000 for two alakmi. Right, outside that, you have to get bike for them, and that's excluding feeding for them. You have to still feed them irrespective of whatever money you're giving to them, and you have to transport them down. So that is that for Kutono and Togo workers currently right now. I don't have data for Cameroon workers and Niger workers, but those are the ones I have access to. So how do you get them, right? I will tell you the simple truth. How to get them is simple. You either have to have someone that has access to that place, or you go there yourself and talk to them, right? But the easier will be having someone to have access to that place. And how do you get people like that? From farms around you, right? If there's any farm around you, you can always speak to people from those areas and say, okay, sorry, guy, when you go home this December, can you help me get one or two staff? It's always the easier way to get staff with them. And of course, use call to track. You should have transport money, Andy, as that might be required so that you can be able to bring them. They might tell you they don't have transport, which is normal. So you might have to send them the money for their transport and they will come around. And of course, you try your best to put in one or two interview process there that can help you guide against bringing in the bad eggs. As I say, sorting the batch. So that is one of the surest ways to bring people. And that way is to, of course, recruit from around the streets. There are also workers that are unemployed around. You can always speak to one or two and test if they can do the work that you have for them. And then you employ them in a permanent service. And if that wouldn't work, of course, there are also various leaders around that you could speak to. And they could help you see if they could get workers from back home for you. So these are ways you could get staff. Now, why have I given you all of this way you could get staff? It's because these are the methods we ourselves have explored. And we are each time building more structures on how we hire our staff. The processes we put in place, the checks we use, and all of that. Even with all of the best checks, I won't lie to you, some of our workers still choose to run. Despite them being taken care of, having everything. And so there's nothing you can do when someone is just bad and lazy. There's nothing you can do. But because of the way the agriculture sector needs workers, you can't always just write someone off by looking. There are people that we've seen and they look frail and they worked well over time. While there are people that we assume are muscular and can do a lot of work, and then within a month, they are nowhere to be found. So, of course, it requires careful approach in how workers are naturally being sorted to ensure that you have the best at the end of the day. So, but what we try to do, as I said, is we help staff people get workers on your request. We send them to you. With us, we don't ask you to pay money from the nuts. We don't tell you to send payment from their workers. Of course, doesn't mean that we are not paying for this transport. We are, but we are not putting that burden on you, because we want to make sure that we don't increase the losses farms are having. Instead, we reduce it for them as much as possible. And one reason we think we are reducing, we can reduce, and we are currently reducing, is by ensuring that farm don't pay for transport from nuts. However, we charge farm owners transport from the bees that are arriving in the south down to your farm. So, for example, our site is in Elara, and we have other places in the Ikorodu, amongst other places. If anywhere these workers arrive in the south, we only charge our clients the transport from that place down to their farm, wherever it is in the south. But we also have partners in Benin. So if it's the south, of course, that's where they'll be going from Benin. If it's somewhere around Ijebu, Ibadan, right? Akure, of course, we have a partner in Akure as well. So, of course, if they're coming from Akure, Ekiti, Osun, we take from Akure. If they're coming from Ijebu, Ibadan, we take from Ikorodu. And if they're coming from Abeokuta, Adaxis, we take from Songo Axis, yeah. So that is how we have a way that this place is a station where workers from the north arrive first, and then before we now distribute them to different farms. And that's what we do typically, ensuring that workers are available. Now, as earlier stated, I stated that this whole talk was going to be 35 minutes, while we now have room for one or two questions, approach personal conversations that would yield good results. And that's what this is all about, to ensure that people are able to now know how to go about getting workers for their farm early enough so they don't miss out on what they need to do. You don't wait till the rain start dropping before you start looking for staff. You have your staff before the rain start dropping. So when the rain start dropping, you hit the ground running and there will be no delays. And that's what we currently are trying to do for our clients. I hope we've been able to pick one or two things. This is a two-day webinar. I have other things slated for tomorrow, right? And I'm hoping that we'll be able to get them. How you can structure your farm without spending so much on labor, right? I'll be talking about that tomorrow. There are ways you can actually keep your farm running with minimal cost on labor. Right? I'll be sharing that tomorrow, among how to rotate your workers for efficient deliveries and how we actually manage on-field activities with our workers. So that will be tomorrow. By God's grace, today, these are the topics I want to touch, and I've touched them. I do hope we're able to pick one or two things. I don't know if Mrs. Victoria can hear me and Mr. Famiwa can hear me. Can you guys hear me still? Are you still there?